As we continue our online worship experience today, I want to give a huge shout out to all of our amazing moms and all of the other wonderful women in our lives. We know that over the last few weeks, you have been put to the test. So we just want to say a huge thank you for still loving us and continuing to put up with us, even though you're probably sick of us after having been quarantined at home for all of these weeks. All of us really have been put to the test during this unprecedented time in our history. We're looking for wisdom, we're looking for guidance, and there were several churches that asked moms to give a bit of wisdom about how they're getting through this unprecedented situation. And so I wanted to just take a minute and share a couple of those little mama mantras with you. Here's one. One lady said, "All of my help is coming from God. I have no other source during these days. I am depleted from all the other things that I typically rely on, and I'm now realizing that all of those other things were really just a distraction from my real source of strength in God." Another mom of two said, "I have to remind myself that this is not permanent. Knowing this is temporary helps me focus on what I need to get done and do today." And another mom, who's also a grandmother, had this perspective. She says, "I'm learning to make the most of my time and to make the best use of the tools I have. I realize that I can easily become fearful for my kids' health, for their finances, for their future, but spending time with God reminds me that we are in His hands and I can trust Him." I'm grateful for some wise words, thoughtful words of wisdom from those moms. I've discovered, and you probably have as well, that during times of crisis, clear thinking and thoughtful words are sometimes a rare commodity. And maybe that's true because we so often in times of crisis function day by day by day just in reaction mode. Things are so different. Things are so awkward and unique that we just find ourselves reacting to one situation, one detail, one new thing after another. But that's not sustainable. And if we are going to get through this situation with our souls intact, our families intact, our lives intact, at some point we have to move from living just in reaction mode to living life with meaning, purpose, and direction. For many of us, that sense of direction and purpose has been thrown off a bit because we tie those things to work or to school or to how we do church or to a paycheck. And so we just live reacting, and we have to define a new sense of purpose, a new sense of direction. So we've been in this series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. And we've discovered that a biblical writer named James writes to some people who were going through some amazing times of disruption. Their lives were filled with persecution and difficulty and challenge, and James is giving them some encouragement, helping them know how to have purpose and direction in times of challenge and difficulty. One of the things we've discovered is that James says we have to look for the opportunity in the struggle. And as we look for the opportunity in the struggle, we figure out how God can help us grow and we can learn during moments of difficulty. But finding those opportunities in times of struggle is not natural for us. James says we need God's wisdom. And we can go to God, who's a generous God, a generous giver of wisdom, and we can just ask Him, "God, I need wisdom today." And James says He will give it to us. He'll give us that ability to move just from information, just from data. He'll give us the ability to actually have understanding and then apply that wisdom to our lives. We desperately need wisdom in our lives today. But there are so many voices, so many opinions, so many so-called experts trying to tell us how to live during this time that a natural question is, okay, I've asked God for wisdom, but how do I know what's actually from Him? There's all this information, all of this data, all of these people trying to tell me how to live and how to interpret this information. How do I actually know if wisdom is from God or not? Or how do I know if it's just something that's masquerading as true wisdom. So James, he takes some time and he writes a real description of what it looks like to live a wisdom-guided life. So I want to invite you to look at the words of James in chapter 3 of his little New Testament book, James chapter 3. And in verse 13, he begins to really give us this picture of a wisdom-guided life. He helps us understand the difference between true wisdom and stuff that just masquerades as wisdom. Here's what James says, verse 13 of chapter 3. If you are wise and understand God's ways, prove it by living an honorable life, doing good works with the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you are bitterly jealous and there's selfish ambition in your heart, don't cover up the truth with boasting and lying, for jealousy and selfishness are not God's kind of wisdom. Such things are earthly, unspiritual, and even demonic. For wherever there is jealousy and selfish ambition, there you will find disorder and evil of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first of all pure. It is also peace-loving, gentle at all times, and willing to yield to others. It is full of mercy and the fruit of good deeds. It shows no favoritism and is always sincere. James says, with all of the information that you are receiving, with all of the people trying to tell you how to live and what to think, you need to know that true wisdom is not just the sharing of ideas. True wisdom is not just sitting around discussing philosophies. James says true wisdom is about living life in a way that is God-honoring and is the way that God intended for you to live. In fact, he says real wisdom, a wisdom-guided life, is demonstrated by the depth of your character, demonstrated in an honorable life. And then he begins to talk to us about what this character of our life truly looks like. He says, if you are living a life of wisdom, a life guided by wisdom, and there's deep character being developed in you, then it's going to look like this. He said, there's going to be good works that are done with humility. Not good works done to earn favor with God or anyone else, but good works that flow out of a life of wisdom. It sort of reminds me of Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, where he said, we are God's masterpiece. We are created in Christ Jesus anew so that we can do the things he planned for us long ago. Paul says, we experience the grace and truth of Jesus and we come alive in a new way. And we're equipped then to do all of the things that God plans for us. James says, when you are understanding wisdom and putting it into your heart and life and living it out, it's going to result in good works. And they're going to be done in a spirit of humility. That means we do good things not for our attention. We do good things not out of a pride-filled spirit that says, I'm the best and I can do it better than anyone else. We do good things not to one-up others. No, we do good things for the benefit of others. We do good things for God's honor, for God's glory. Paul continues to help us understand what a wisdom-guided life looks like when he continues in verse 17 with these words. He says, wisdom from God results in a pure life. Nothing fake, no deception, consistent in public and private. He says, this kind of life is a peace-loving life. And that doesn't mean that we're doormats. It doesn't mean that we avoid conflict in every situation. No, but it's a desire for peace. We live life seeking peace, trying to spread peace. Sometimes creating peaceful moments requires challenging, tough, difficult actions, but the goal is always peace. James says that this kind of life looks like being gentle in all situations. It looks like being willing to yield to others, which means that we have a flexible spirit. We're willing to learn. We're willing to grow. We're teachable. We're coachable. He says this kind of life is full of mercy. It's full of good deeds. It doesn't show favoritism. And it is sincere. It's genuine. The word sincere from the Greek actually means a lack of hypocrisy. This is the kind of life that is guided by wisdom, says James. So don't be confused when people talk a lot or talk about a good game in their life. But if they don't exhibit these kind of qualities, these characteristics, James says they're not people who are living by God's wisdom. And he wants us to understand what it looks like if we let our minds be dominated and guided by other things that masquerade as wisdom. And so if you go back with me to verses 14 and 16, you discover that James describes here a life guided by fake wisdom that just leads to a superficial existence. Look at what this superficial existence looks like. He says it's filled with bitter jealousy. It's filled with selfish ambition. It covers up the truth. It's full of boasting and lying and selfishness. And he says all of these things are earthly, they're unspiritual, they're even demonic, he says. He says they create disorder, discord, chaos, and they release and produce evil of every kind. James says, if you see a life that has that kind of fruit, if you see those qualities and those characteristics being lived out in somebody's life, you can be certain that they are not living a life of God-honoring wisdom. It doesn't matter how compelling their ideas. It doesn't matter how passionately they tell you what they are saying is true. It doesn't matter how attractive the package looks. If it leads to a superficial existence, it's fake wisdom. James says, we have a choice to make. We have a choice about the kind of truth we're going to live by, the principles we're going to live by. We have a choice about the wisdom we're going to let guide our life. And if you really want to know what's guiding your life and what direction you're headed, just take a look at that fruit. Which picture is showing up in your life? Which direction are you heading? Are you becoming more peaceful? Are you becoming more sincere? Are you becoming a person who is able to live life doing good things out of a spirit of humility? That's the direction that James says we need to go. If we find ourselves leaning more towards that direction of bitterness or jealousy or evil or discord or chaos inside, James says, you're following the wrong kind of wisdom. I wonder what wisdom is guiding your life. And I wonder if you are willing to let your life grow deep in character. If you're willing to let true wisdom guide you and develop in you the qualities and characteristics that require you and I being willing to open our hearts truly, fully, and completely to the guidance of God's Spirit and let Him work in us, develop in us this amazing fruit of a wisdom-guided life. Here's the truth. Many people in our world today are looking at you and me, and they're deciding if our life looks like a life guided by wisdom or if it's just some superficial existence. Guess who's looking at us most closely? Our families. And if I could just give a word of encouragement to all of you that have kids living in your house right now, wow, do they ever have a close-up view of your life? And doesn't matter how young they are, they have this ability to interpret what's truly going on in our lives. And I want to just challenge you to allow God's Spirit and His wisdom to form what's happening inside of you. Parents have always been the primary leaders of the spiritual development of their kids. But that truth has been put in the spotlight during this pandemic. we're not able to gather like we usually do as a church family. There's not children's ministry happening here in the campuses at Owosso or St. John's. And so, parents, we know if our kids are having spiritual conversations, it's because we're having them with them. If they are learning to pray, it's because we're demonstrating how to pray. If we're helping them interpret all of the experiences that are going on right now in our world through God's truth, it's because we're having those conversations. We can't pass it off to anyone else. And so I really want to encourage you as parents with kids in your house to be people who are truly going in the direction of a life guided by the wisdom that God offers us in His Word. I need His help to be able to do that. You need His help to be able to do that. And so I want to just invite you to just join me in a moment of prayer, asking that God would help us take the opportunity to refocus, reset, and recommit to living a life that has deep character, that's formed by God's truth and God's wisdom. Would you pray with me? God, as we think about our lives today, we quickly see areas where we need improvement. We quickly see areas and moments where we have not lived in a God-honoring way. And we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your help to move forward and to allow your Spirit to take full control of our hearts and our minds and all that we are. God, we want to live lives that are guided by your truth and by your wisdom. And we don't want to be deceived by people who offer us this or that or this philosophy, that idea, but it doesn't lead us in the right way. It ultimately leads towards jealousy and selfish ambition and bitterness and those kinds of things. And God, that's not what we want to be guiding our life and showing up in our hearts. And so we pray that you would help us to open our minds to your truth, open our hearts to your love. And as we walk in your grace and in your truth, I ask that you would help us to just allow these wonderful qualities of wisdom to be formed in us. May they show up in our life. May they show up in the eyes of our family as they watch us and as they walk with us in this journey. May they show up in the people that we are doing Zoom calls with. May they see these qualities and characteristics in us. May these qualities and characteristics show up in our social media posts. May they be exemplified in just all of our life. Father, we want to be people who you can use to make a difference in the lives of the people who are closest to us, and even those who are across the street and across the factory, across the office. God, we want to be people who others can see you at work in. And so help us to open our hearts and minds to you this day and this week. And we pray and ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.